Can we do this? Would you just grab your Bible? And can we make our confession together right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you say with me? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. John chapter 14, fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 14. And I just want to, before I read the verse here, Jesus speaking, want to wish everyone certainly a very merry and a blessed and a peace-filled. That's been in my heart here over the last week or so. I wish you a Merry Christmas, but I wish you a peace-filled Christmas. And where God would just reign in our hearts, peace-filled, peaceful, harmonious Christmas. And for those, the residents there at the Bloom Retirement Home, all the residents and staff, we thank God for you. And I don't know how the timing will work out, but wish you Merry Christmas whenever the Sunday may be that you would happen to be listening to this. And also want to just remind you that first of the year, I'd like to ask you to consider joining me on a partial fast to dedicate the first few days of 2021 to the Lord, really a dedication of the whole year. The Bible teaches the principle of first fruits, that when we dedicate like the first part of our income, first part of our week, or whatever it may be, it's like setting that entire, whatever it may be, apart for the Lord. So we dedicate those first few days, and maybe for some of you, you'd be willing to give up whatever the food group is, maybe meat, maybe sweets, maybe bread. I can't tell you that. I'm not trying to tell you. I would like to ask that you would just seek the Lord and whatever would motivate you. The real key is not just, it's not dieting for Jesus, okay? I mean, if you do that, God bless you, that's fine. But this is really seeking the Lord in prayer and accompanied with the fasting. So the fast, whatever it is, that you would let it be motivating to inspire you to really pray and seek the Lord and draw closer to Him. It's ultimately about God and His will. You know, we can't manipulate God to do what we want. He's not our genie in a bottle we rub and say, in Jesus' name, and get everything I want. He is our Father and our God, and we seek Him, and we fast and pray to draw closer to Him and to His will so that we could accomplish His will. He would have His way in us and through us. And God moved. We see it all through Scripture of how He moved on behalf of His people when the people sought Him, especially in that way. So I would encourage you just to get in where you fit in and join at some level and dedicate those first, especially the 3 days there, if you can, just to have that time to really seek the Lord and draw closer to Him. Before I read this verse in John chapter 14, I believe it was Wednesday night when I went home, I turned on a news broadcast. This particular news is called News Nation. And at that hour, I don't remember if it was at 10 or what time exactly, but they had a little feature there on the news of how many people, apparently they had done some survey of like those who are 18 years of age and older, how many are struggling with clinical anxiety and depression in our day. And they had a doctor, and they were interviewing him about some of the signs, you know, warning signs, what to look for, what may be helpful. And whether we've battled clinical, if you want to use that term, anxiety and depression or not, I just believe that we all can relate to the very real battle of battling anxiety, of battling fear, of battling some type of discouragement or even depression. And it can be for a variety of reasons, but we can relate. We can relate. And as we, honestly, sometimes one of the reasons I can't watch but so much news, and I'm informed. I watch it from different channels to try to get an idea. I'm trying to get a full picture and a balance there of what's, hopefully, if you can hear, of what's actually going on. But to take that in, but for me personally now, I'm not knocking anyone who can do this. I can't watch it all day and all night. I can't, that's me, because it gets me emotionally troubled. It kind of robs me of peace. So I want to be informed, but I pray. But I've even thought, it's a fair question to ask, can we even have peace? And if we can, how? And Jesus has something to say about peace in John 14:27. John chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Notice, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Thank God. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to encourage you, would you try this week to really meditate and memorize at least those first few words of that verse? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. If you could at least focus and try to memorize that, man, I know it's going to be helpful to you. It's going to minister to you. But if you would just really focus on that, John 14:27. So can we have peace? Yes, we can have peace. But brothers and sisters, we will have to be diligent to stay in peace. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, because this life will always have something to trouble our hearts potentially and make us fearful. I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being realistic. This life will always have something that has the potential to trouble our hearts and make us fearful if we allow it. So the message today is based on the words of Jesus here, and I wanted to make it a personal confession. I've said this some over last years. I'm trying to make sure, I want to do it all the time. Every time that temptation comes, every time anxiety, every time fear, I want to make this confession, and that is, Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace. That's the message today. Would you say it with me? Jesus, I receive your peace. And I have two action steps that the Lord has given. I don't have them, but the Lord gave us in this text here and this surrounding scripture I want to share today that will help us to receive the peace of the Lord. And I really have two more as well, but I'm not going to share but so much today. I want to just focus on what we can take in. So God willing, next Sunday we'll have the Christmas service, and then on the 27th, I'll share part two. So today will be Jesus, I receive your peace, part one. And then in 2 weeks, we'll conclude with part two. The word peace in the Old and New Testament, shalom and this New Testament word, have the idea of harmony or tranquility. It can even mean wellness, so well-being. So harmony, tranquility, well-being. And that's the word that Jesus chose to use here. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In other words, he offers it to us. It's not mandatory. We don't have to live in peace, but it's available. So he gives it. I'm curious if any of you have maybe a possession, and it may not be like it was a huge monetary value to it, but it means something to you because of the sentiment and who gave it. Maybe someone, maybe a loved one left it behind, and you have possession of it now, and it really means something to you. And I have something myself, you know, from my dad. It wasn't like he necessarily gave it to me, but I have it just as little, you know, a couple keepsakes. And we had a brother here in the church who passed away recently. He had given me a little coin, you know, sometime way before then, but he wanted me to have it. And so it means it's a sentimental value along that line. Do any of you have some kind of a possession like that that you would say, this really means a lot to me? Whether the world would put a big price tag on it or not, it's valuable to me because a loved one gave it to me. Can any of you relate? Would you hold your hands up a moment? Wow, thank you. All across the sanctuary, thank you. Well, you know that Jesus loved us, and he gave us a very prized possession, his peace, the peace that he offers. And it's the different peace than what the world has to offer. See, the world can offer, I guess what I would call I don't know if temporary or conditional peace is, it's a surface, I'll say it that way, maybe a surface peace. I have peace if everything's going my way. Everything's getting along and that they're acting like I want them to act and whatever. I'm cool, we have peace. But the peace that Jesus gives is a much deeper peace. See, the peace that Jesus had was not limited to circumstances or emotions. That's the kind of peace Jesus gives. Jesus gives peace. The world cannot give peace with God. And the world cannot give the peace of God. But Jesus can. So Jesus, I receive your peace. I want to read that verse in the New Living Translation. We'll put it on the screen there in John 14, 27. This is how it words it. It says, Jesus speaking again, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. I love that phrase, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or be afraid. Now, if you're familiar with Jesus, you know Jesus was moved with compassion. He had emotion. He cared. Jesus was grieved by loss. He wept there at the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus was angered by hypocrisy. When a man in the synagogue had a withered hand, and some of the religious leaders, not all, but some of them were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath day. And Jesus told the man to stand up in the middle. And so he stood, and Jesus asked, is it wrong or is it right to heal? You know, or is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? And they wouldn't even answer them. And the Bible says it angered Jesus because their hearts were so hard. They were so set in their religious ways that it wouldn't allow them to see a man healed. So he cared. He grieved. He was angered. He had the emotions. But Jesus did not allow circumstances or feelings or emotions to take him out of harmony with his Father. That's the kind of peace that Jesus offered. So it's a peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. John chapter 15, if you would look there, because the real key, I believe, is in these words in John 15, 5. The key to receiving and maintaining the peace of God is to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. The Bible says this in John chapter 15 and verse 5. Again, if you have a red letter edition, this whole section is in red letters. Jesus is just continuing his discourse with his disciples there. He just finished the Lord's Supper. He's eventually, in fact, at this point, he left that upper room, and they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where one of his followers will betray him for 30 pieces of silver and with a kiss. And he'll go through the whole brutality of those next hours. But he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit without Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's right, love, joy, peace. That's not Rocky's fruit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But we can bear that fruit if we stay in close fellowship with the one who can produce the fruit, and that's Jesus. So he is, in the Old Testament, he's referred to as Yahweh or Jehovah Shalom. We sung about it this morning. He is our source of peace. He is our Prince of Peace. So when we have those times, in fact, I want to encourage every one of us here today, please don't be condemned. Don't feel condemned. Don't get down on yourself or discouraged when you feel anxiety and fear wanting to grip your heart, your mind, and dominate you. You're just human. Again, those times will come. The question or the issue is, when it happens, what do we do? So the anxiety is filling my heart. I've heard the news. My mind is so troubled, I can't even rest or sleep. Now, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay like that? Or am I going to use it? And here's the key. Use it as just a motivator to say, I'm not going to settle for anxiety. I'm not going to settle for just allowing my mind and heart to be troubled and dominated. I am going to use it to draw closer to my source. I'm going to use it to draw closer to the Lord and to draw on His peace, because Jesus is not troubled. Jesus is not fearful. He is not anxious or worried. And His Spirit is within me. That's the key. His Spirit is within me, and we can stay in close fellowship with Him. So use it as motivation. There's a verse I learned. I say I learned it. It became personal to me some years ago when I was having some health issues going on. I remember one night I laid down and just had something going on. I felt like my body was just clammy. I just felt like something happened. And so I told Kim, and of course she got a little bit scared, and we ended up going to the emergency room that night. And as they ran some tests on me, they found that I had something called an ejection fraction, I think it's, if I remember correctly, the term, where maybe one of my valves was not pumping the blood like it should have. And so I went through that whole process and series of tests and all. And anyway, through it all, it came out that they showed the test, but when I went back, that the test had been either a mistake or the Lord moved. But I remember that night in the bed, I remember we sang this song at the time. It was called "You Are Holy," and it would like echo, and you say, "You are holy, you are holy." And the last line of that chorus said, "You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you." I remember, the Bible says the Lord gave me a song in the night. I can tell you on that one, the Lord gave me a song in that night. And that song was coming up in my heart. I remember saying it to myself over and over at the house and in the emergency room. And back in that, where the room was, they were testing me. "You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you." I remember, sometime later having some dizziness, and they couldn't see. I went to specialists and all these doctors. They couldn't figure out what was causing it. And sometimes, when we don't know something, our mind will fill in the blank. And it'll usually, or at least sometimes, it'll fill it in with something that's not very peace-filled. I remember waking up sometimes. I remember this one night specifically. I don't remember when, the date, but I remember about 3 o'clock in the morning, in that fourth watch of the night, I woke up, and when I woke up, my heart was racing, and I could tell my breathing was real shallow, and I had one of those little, I kept one of those little Gideon Bibles. You know what I'm talking about? The little orange or whatever color Bible by the bed. And that's when I really memorized the 23rd Psalm. But I began to read over that, and I would just say it. I would read it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley," and I would just quote it and go over it and over it and over it and over it until my emotions and body had calmed. The Bible says in Psalms 131:2, "I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother," like a child who's been weaned and just is comfortable in the presence of his mom. We can do that with the Lord. We can draw to the Lord and say, "Jesus, I receive your peace." He offers, "Jesus, I receive your peace. I receive your peace," and meditate on a scripture until you just sense your body and your heart and your mind and your emotions begin to calm down. And let the peace of God rule in our hearts and our minds. 2 steps, I believe, that Jesus gives us here of how we can maintain that close fellowship, maintain peace with the Lord, receive His peace, and abide in Him. If you want to write these down, just 2 real quick. "Jesus, I receive your peace." Would you say it with me? "Jesus, I receive your peace." The first is, we must believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Similar words to what we read there in verse 27. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Believe is not mental assent. Believe is not, "Oh yeah, I know there's God. I believe there's a God," and just kind of almost blowing it off. I've seen people do that over the years. But if our attitude is that way toward God, we're not going to be walking in the fullness of what God has for us. We might not even be a Christian and just say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe he loves me. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And just almost blow it off. It's not a mental assent. Yes, we use our mind. God has given us a sound mind to use, and we're to love him with all of our mind. But this is much deeper. This is a heart belief. It's believing in our heart. It's faith in our heart that Jesus is the sinless, crucified, and resurrected Lord. And when we believe with our heart that way, a miracle takes place. All of our sins are forgiven. We are declared righteous before a holy God because of the sacrifice of his Son, and God's Holy Spirit takes up residence on the inside of us. He resides in us, and he is the one who can bring that peace to our heart. The Bible says this, if you want to write these verses down, I'll read a couple more in Romans 14 or John 14 in a moment. Let me read you this from Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this, talking about believing. We believe in the Son just like we believe in the Father is what Jesus was saying there. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word therefore connects it to what he just had written, which says that Jesus was delivered up on the cross for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. Therefore, would you read this verse out loud with me? If you'll read it on the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Romans 5, 1. Ready? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 2, through whom, through Jesus, we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus, in John chapter 14, there, verse 16, says this, John 14, 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, because Jesus was going to be leaving to return to heaven. Then verse 16 or 17 says, he is the Spirit of truth. We have a source of truth today. Thank God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God who inspired that Word. So he says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit when we are born of God, when we put our faith in Jesus as Lord, and his Spirit indwells us, and he is our source. He is the one who empowers us to do God's will. It is God's will for his people to be in peace because he declared it in his word. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The Amplified Bible says, I bequeath it to you. It's my treasured possession that I'm giving to you. Brothers and sisters, we believe in Jesus for eternal life. Let's believe in Jesus for daily grace and peace. It's the same principle. If I believe him for the saving of my soul, and that one day when I draw my last breath in this temporary body, I'm going to be with him forever, I can have the same kind of faith in his word because he said the same thing. He's the source, and I can trust him to have grace and peace in my troubled moments right now. It doesn't mean it's a quick fix. It goes away. I believe we have to work at it at times. Again, the key is staying in close fellowship with the Lord. He is the one who gives us peace. Jesus, I receive your peace. I remember when Kim was in the hospital having cancer surgery. Back in that room where before they were going to take her to the operating room, it was just the two of us back there. And I remember this scripture. I said, Kim, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. I got her to say these words. I said, just tell him, Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace. Because, you know, you don't know what they're going to, how the surgery's going to go, what they're going to find or whatever. So humanly, can't we all relate to the potential for the anxiety and the trouble in our heart? But to just keep saying it until you calm yourself down, until you sense the Lord doing that work of grace in our heart. So It's being real. It's not acting like we never feel anxiety. It's not acting like we're never troubled or our hearts are weighed down or, you know, fearful. We're human, but we don't have to. Don't make peace, please, with anxiety and fear and trouble in your heart. Let's make peace with Jesus and walk in what he's provided for us and stay close to him. Romans 15, 13 says it like this, and then I'll give you the second one. Romans 15, 13 says that, I'll try to quote it because I don't, well, I better look. I think I know it, but I better check it. It says, now the God of all hope, I believe is how it words it, or may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, how? In believing. Now, he's writing this, see, to believers. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, our receiver of peace. Number one, believe in Jesus, not just for salvation, but for grace and peace when my heart is troubled. And then number two, love Jesus and others. Love Jesus and love others. And again, that's also in that same chapter of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. I'll give you a chance to write that down if some of you look like you're taking notes. So John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. So to receive the Lord's peace, we first of all have to believe in him. And then we need to rest. Please rest in this truth. You are loved by God. He loves you. And if you question that, you probably won't have a lot of peace. God loves us because of who he is. I wasn't just so adorable and so good and so whatever. He just couldn't help himself. No, that's about him, okay? And it had nothing to do, thank God, with my performance, if you want to say it that way, because I failed him many times. But it's just because of his goodness and who he is. And he wants us to be at peace and to rest in his love for us. So the Bible says, he's speaking again, Jesus, John 15, 9. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Just be at home. Make yourself at home in the love of the Lord for you. And then verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So it's not just the Lord wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy, but it has to be found in him, not this world. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, the emphasis here is on abiding. It's abiding in his love. It's abiding in his commandments. And yes, we're all going to fall short at times, but love inspires obedience. Love inspires obedience. And when we love the Lord, we want to do what's right. We want to please him. Yes, in our human weakness, we're going to fall. We sin at times. I'm not making excuses, but our heart is there. We want to be pleasing to the Lord. And it grieves us. We want to make it right quick, and we want to stay in close fellowship with our Lord and our Heavenly Father. So it's abiding in him. How do we know we love the Lord? Maybe I'll ask it this way. How do other people know we love Jesus? First, because we keep his commandments, right? And his commandment, one of them is, love others as you love yourself. In fact, all the commandments flow out of two. Love God, love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to see if we allow ourselves to get into unbelief or disobedience, we're not going to have the peace of God. We're going to cut off that supply. So being obedient, I want to make sure I clarify this. When I say being obedient, I want to make sure it's obedient to the inspired written word of God, not just something I might think or feel. There is no doubt this book was inspired. And to do God's will, we've got to live by the truth that's written in it. So it's important to learn what it says and then to live it out. You say, I get along fine. I can love God. It's people I have trouble with. I know. We can all relate. Believe me. I think we can all relate. I would just say this. It's because we love God. It's because He loves me. And because we love the Lord, that we at least are willing to try to get along with people and to do our part. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, as much as lies within you, as much as possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, would you keep it up just a moment, please? That's context of overcoming evil with good. Now, some people, maybe for a season, it may not be possible. That's just reality. We cannot force someone to get along with us. All we can do and all God calls us to do is our part. So to love God, to love others, and we can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Jesus said this in John 14:21. John 14:21. I'm going to close here with just two more verses. He says this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. So this is how we show that we love the Lord. We want to do His will. And notice what He says. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, God loves us when we were still sinners. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But when we love the Lord and we seek to do His will, Jesus will reveal Himself to us in ways that we would miss by disobedience. He says, I will manifest myself to you. He will reveal. And one of the ways Jesus reveals Himself to us is in peace. So when we are seeking the Lord, we love the Lord, and we're seeking to live for Him, we really believe in Him, then He reigns in our lives, not only bringing us into peace with God at salvation, but in our daily struggles and battles and all of those anxious moments, He can reign as our Prince of Peace and Jehovah Shalom in our hearts. Thank God. You talked about, many of you said you have a prized possession. Jesus left us a very prized possession. And He loved us and gave Himself for us in order that we could have it. Again, please don't be condemned if you're feeling, if your heart is troubled and you're battling anxiety and fear right now. It just means you're human. I'm simply saying, now will you use it to draw closer to the Lord? I want to close this section. This whole, again, if you have the red letter edition here, he goes on into chapter 17 with a prayer. But the last verse of chapter 16, would you turn there? I'll close with this, John 16:33. Before I read it, would you say it with me? Jesus, I receive your peace. Let's say it together. Jesus, I receive your peace. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you. What things, Lord? All that we were just talking about in those chapters, 14, 15, 16. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That's why I'm saying it's always going to be something here. Jesus acknowledged that there's always going to be something that has potential to trouble our hearts, that can, in fact, the tribulation, it could be trouble, it could be persecution. He talks in that chapter 16 of how some people are going to hate us just because we believe and follow Jesus. And it's pressure. If can you, you know how some of you can buy like a package of napkins? And it's like almost like a rectangle. You know what I'm talking about? They're kind of like this, the longer ones. You know how if you just could imagine taking your hands on both ends and squeezing them together? That is a picture of this Greek word that Jesus said, tribulation. In the world, you're going to have this pressure. And he was just getting ready to be arrested at a place where he felt that pressure so greatly on him, it caused him to bleed out of his sweat glands in the Garden of Gethsemane, an olive press, feeling that pressure of the world and all of the troubles and everything that can go on in our lives and families and all that pressure. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have that pressure, tribulation, persecution. But in me, you can have peace. And then he says this, the last words of that verse, but be of good cheer. Take heart. Be courageous. I have overcome the world. Thank God. The victory is ours. The cross and the empty tomb assured. We're going to feel the pressure. We're going to have the anxiety. We're going to be tempted with the fear and the troubled hearts. But because Jesus conquered this world system, we can have victory and we will have victory through him to the glory of God by his grace and by his peace. It will not overcome us. The world cannot defeat us. We're on the winning side. I have overcome. Be of good courage. It's going to be hard at times, but it's okay. Don't let it get you down. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. I've won the victory for you. Now receive what I offer. Jesus, I receive your peace. Would you say it with me? Jesus, I receive your peace. Can we go to the Lord in prayer?